employees. She's like, I am the bomb and I know it. Shake it off. Y'all ready to shake it off today? Yeah, get rid of it. We're going to start in Philippians chapter 3. I began to think of my message about how so many times that we allow what we're going through, the trials and tribulations, our storms, our battles, to stick to us. Stick to us like how those little mice stick to those little glue pads. You know what I'm saying? They get them, they stick them, they're trying to get off, and they can't get off that glue pad. They're stuck. It's time, sorry about the analogy. It is time that we get off the glue pad. It's time we get unstuck and shake off what God has found. The enemy wants to keep us so trapped by our failures, by our mistakes, by our past, by our sins, by all the disappointments, that we can never enjoy today or tomorrow because we're still stuck in yesterday. And it's time that we shake that off and realize, I can't change one thing that happened yesterday or last week or last month. Now this message is preaching to the choir right here. I am the choir this morning. And I am preaching, and Melanie will tell you firsthand, I am the rehasher of rehashing. I am the one that goes over and over and over in my head and replay the same song and same video and same movie over and over and over.
I call him Rapita.
She calls me Rapita. Because I repeat it, everything, all the time. And so over and over and over, I rehash that. And I have to learn to realize, you know what? As long as I'm enslaved by what is in my present, I can't ever be free to experience my future.
That's right.
And Paul recognized this in Philippians 3. Look what he says, Philippians chapter 3, verse 13. He said, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, one thing I get, one thing I understand, one thing Paul's saying I've come to understanding about is this. I'm going to forget those things which are behind, and I'm going to reach forward to those things which are ahead. Some folks like misery. That's how they survive. We call them drama mamas, right? We love the drama, and we love to be in misery. And we want to drag everybody down with us. We've got to make a decision. I'm not letting anyone drag me into your misery.
That's right.
I've been set free by the King of Kings, and I'm going to stay free. I'm not going to be shackled up and bound no more. I have been declared righteous by the blood of Christ, and I'm not going back.
Right.
And if you want to be miserable, be miserable. But don't drag me into your misery. There are folks that have a bulldog look on their face every single day of their life, every waking moment. And they are unhappy, and they are discouraged, and if we're not careful, that gets on us, and we get discouraged. So we have to make a decision. I'm not going to stay in my past, for my past is, guess what? In the past.
That's right.
Think about your rearview mirror when you're driving, and you go by something. There's a cow beside the road, and you go by that cow, and then you look at your mirror. Guess what? The cow's behind you. You don't have to ever worry about hitting that cow. You've done past it. The cow is no longer an obstacle. The cow is no longer in your way. The cow is no longer a problem. The cow is behind you. You've already went by. We have already went by day, the past. Let the past stay behind and move forward today and be and let God do what he wants to do in your life. It's easy to stay shackled by what's happened. Church, I so wish I could reverse the mistakes. I so wish I could reverse things I've done. I so wish I could go back in time and have been a better husband for the last 25 years, a better father for the past whatever years, a better pastor for the past 15 years. I so wish I could roll back the clock and say, I shouldn't have done that. I replay those images over and over of times that I snapped, or times that I disobeyed God, or times that I sinned against God, or times of my darkest hours that nobody knows about but me and God. And I think about those times, those moments, and if I let that be what is present, it paralyzes me and it cripples me and I can't go forward. But Paul said, I'm going to forget what's behind me and I'm only going to look forward and reach ahead to what God's waiting in front of me, because what is past is done, but what's ahead has not yet come. And if we don't let go of the past, we can't embrace the future that God has for us. So it's time, church, to shake it off and say, no more am I going to be shattered. God or the living God. Remind yourself of who you are. And I'm glad four of you are excited about that this morning. Go to the next verse, 14. He says, I press toward the goal for the prize of the call of God in Christ Jesus. Now, Paul had a very, this is very profound for Paul to say, I'm going to forget what's behind and I'm going to go ahead to what's ahead. You know why? I go to the next scripture. Here's what Paul was fighting. Look how he acted in Acts 9, chapter 1. Then Saul, which is the same guy, Paul, breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord. This same man who says, I want to forget what's behind me, was this man that had to put this behind him. I was threatening murder, and I was at the stoning of Stephen, and was happy about it, and was cheerleading. Hurrah, hurrah, beat him in the ground, beat him in the ground. Yes, I want Stephen to die. He was there, but the Bible says that he was consenting unto Stephen's death. So Paul had to put this behind him. Next verse. He even asked for letters from the synagogues of Damascus so that if he found anyone who was of that way, the Jesus way, whether men or women, he would bring them bound back to Jerusalem. Here's a man that was going to arrest people just because they believed in Jesus. And he cursed this message. He cursed this way. He was totally against this movement of Jesus being who he was. But yet in Philippians, he tells us, I'm going to put that behind and now press toward the mark. Because if I'm constantly reminded of what I was, I won't become what I is. Because we so get trapped and we can't move forward because all we see is the mistake. Saul, church, we all know. Let me ask you this, be honest. How many of you are or have raised children? Raise your hand. If you are or have. Okay, put them down. How many of you made any mistakes in your parenting? And raise your hand. Now, we all wish we could go back, don't we? And say, I wish I would have done that differently. When my kid was 9 or 10, I should have been maybe more involved. When they were 12 or 13, I should have been more strict. When they were 15 or 16, I should have beat them to the edge of their life. But you know what? I didn't. And we can rehash that all day long, but guess what? It's not, mom can't go back. I am, you know, in my 40s, and mom can't go back and re-raise me. It'd be a heck of a lot easier life for me. But she can't re-raise me. It is what it is. And we look at the mistakes we made, and we're all going to make them. That's why I say grandparents are wonderful, because they get a second chance. Especially if you raise your grandchildren, you get a second chance. You're like, okay, sorry I messed up on you, daughter. I'm going to make this right with her. And so you do it different with that one. And we learn from that. But we've got to be careful not to let that be the only thing we see. Yes, we learn from our mistakes, we move on, and we rise up.
That's right.
We say, no more, devil. Yes, I made mistakes, but God can fix it.
Yes.
Yes, I messed up, but God has fixed it. Yes, I did wrong, but God has forgiven me. Yes, I'm not being what I should, but God knows that, and his redemptive blood still covers me. Reminding ourselves who we are in Christ. We are not, church, the beaten down, defeated, discouraged people of God. We are the overcomers. We are the victorious. We are the ones that are filled with his Holy Spirit. How can we be down? How can we be discouraged? How can we be defeated when we've been overcome by the blood of the Lamb? Remind yourself, I'm not going to stay there. Next verse, friend. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. This is also Paul. I love how he says this. We have this treasure in our earthen vessels that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. Leave on that verse for a minute, right? The power of God is of God, it's not of us. The power we have is of God, not of us. We need to learn to let go of things and give it to God, whatever that is. And I know that's harder done than said. I get it. Each of us have a trial. Each of us have a burden. I get texts, I get calls from people that will text me something. I had no idea they were going through anything until I got a text. I'm like, wow, did not know you were going through that. Did not know that happened in your life. Every one of us have a story to tell. Every one of us had trauma to endure. Every one of us has got a battle to face. There are people in this room right now around you, right now, that are facing all kinds of strongholds, that are facing addiction, that are facing demonic warfare, that's facing physical sickness, that's facing discouragement and depression, even facing suicidal thoughts. All of us in this room are a family. We're one body in Christ. And Paul says to remind us that the power is not of us, but it's of God. If we realize that the power is of God, you know what that gives us? It gives us peace and rest to trust that. To trust that. You know, can I tell your story a little bit, Chuck, yesterday about the call? Chuck called me Friday night. He had to do a sing at a funeral and had to speak at a funeral. It was the first one he actually had to speak at. He was nervous. And y'all know Chuck. He's up here. He's very emotional. Y'all see him. He wears most on the sleeve, which is wonderful. He called me for advice. Said, you know, they want me to speak. And they're calling me. He even called me a reverend. I'm not a reverend. What do I do? I said, Chuck, you're not a reverend. And don't try to act like a reverend. Be Chuck. You get up there and you speak from your heart and you let God direct your word. Just let God fill your mouth. Just let God come out. I said, act like you do a little word. Well, they ain't never seen that side of you. I said, let them see that side of you. They need to see. Apparently from the crowd you told me he was talking to, they need to see that side of you. They need to see that tender, soft side that God has changed. Be yourself. Let the power be from God. Let it be from God. Church, I'm not like a lot of reverends. I'm not. There are some people that are much smarter than me. They're much more detailed than me. They're much more, Bill's better at this than me. Staying on task. I don't do that very well, preaching. I know when Bill ministers, he stays on task. I'm all over the place. But I'll be preaching, you know, Holy Ghost fire rain down. I'm talking about TJ's Blue Devils. I mean, I know I bounce. That's me. That's just how I am. That's how I'm wired. I mean, I can sit right here at a podium and do the thing. We gather here, church. Can I get a witness? To talk about Jesus Christ our Lord. I can stay right here and not move. I could do that. It would be so hard. But I could stay here for 45 minutes and not move. I could if I really tried. But it's not me. And so that's why I told Chuck, be you. Be what God called you to be. Because, see, Chuck can touch lives I won't reach because they won't even listen to me. Chuck can walk in his jeans and boots and they know his past. They know where he came from. And they want to open up a little bit more. They see me walking into my, what color did you call this shirt in?
Peach.
They walk into my peach shirt and my little Don Johnson jacket. Tell my age, Aaron, and Don Johnson. These young folks are like, who's Don? You don't know who Don Johnson is. Yeah, he don't know Don Johnson. They're like, they will shut down? Oh, he's a pastor, though. He's got the jacket on all of it. But see, Chuck can reach people I'll never reach because of where he's been, because of who he knows. We got to be true to ourselves. We got to learn to serve others. That's why I said about going to this class. I'm a believer in this. And that's why it's important that you in leadership take a day to say, you know what, I want to commit 6 or 7 hours to a training session for the ministry, for the Lord. It's important. Look what Paul said. Next verse. So the power is not of us, of God. We are hard-pressed on every side, but we're not crushed. Think about that. I'm hard-pressed. You ever feel like you're hard-pressed? You know, you got a wife, you got children you're raising, you hold down 2 jobs, you got bills piling up, gas just went up, we got groceries to buy, we got all this stuff going on, we've lost someone we love in our lives, we're hard-pressed. It's like every side we look, there's no escape. But Paul says, though there seems to be no escape, though all around me I'm pressed, I'm not crushed. Think about a can of corn, or think about a Pepsi can. A Pepsi can sitting right here, and on all 4 sides, it's covered. I mean, but the can's still standing. It's not been crushed. Church, we've not been crushed. We may be hard-pressed, but we're still in one piece because the power of God upholds us. His righteous hand upholds us, church. So don't be discouraged. Then he says, we are perplexed. We know what perplexed means. We're confused. We're worried. We're uncertain. But guess what? We're not in despair.
That's right.
You know why Christians should never be in a point of despair? Because we know where the repair is at.
That's right.
Jesus fixes any problem.
Yes.
And we know our future. We know where our hope is at. We know for certainty that our salvation in Him is secure in His hands. Church, and so why am I despaired? So what the devil husks and puffs, he'll never be able to blow my house down. For my house was built by the hand of God. It's time we realize who we are and shake it off.
That's right.
Far too long we've been walking burdened and downtrodden and defeated whenever God has resurrected us.
That's right.
No matter what stage you're in life, if you're a child of God, you're in the best stage ever. And nothing can ever rob or destroy that. The Bible says my name has been written down in the Lamb's Book of Life.
That's right.
That means something. It's been written down by the blood of Jesus. It's written down in one day when the seals are broke, there's my name, James Lewis, in the Lamb's Book of Life. When he calls my name, there I am in the Lamb's Book of Life. There I am. Kind of like the old school days when they used to call attendance, remember? When you call your name, raise your hand, you're present back in your little one school, you know. They say, TJ here, you know, Kayla here, Krista here, Joe here, James Lewis, you're gone. There you are. You're written down, you're mine. And you are present, and you are accounted for. Go to the next verse. Verse 9 says this. We are persecuted, but we're not forsaken. Church, where God's not forsaken us. I don't care what battle you're in, God has not forsaken you. You know what it would, think about how it would be if he had forsaken you.
That's right.
That's where the destruction comes. We don't know how many times God's holding us up when we think we're drowning.
Right.
How many times we're not breathing, but we are because God has not forsaken us. How many times we think it's over, but God says, no, it's not over, because if it was over, I would have forsaken you.
Yeah.
But I'm not forsaken you, and I've never forsaken you. He faced that for us as well. When Jesus on the cross, remember he cried out, Father, Father, you have forsaken, you know, why have you forsaken me? Why? He felt an abandonment. In the human part of God felt abandonment. And he faced that, and he endured that to let us know he paid the price for everything, including that.
That's right.
I'm never going to be forsaken.
Right.
Church, we blame God because of sickness. We blame God because of losing our job. We blame God because of our rowdy and rebellious kids. We blame God, you know, God, I think about if the hand of God was off our lives, how it would be.
Right.
It's kind of like how we're dealing right now in kind of a cultural war with our police officers and society, and people are wanting no cops and no police officers and, you know, back off. And let's remove all law enforcement for 24 hours. Let's come on CNN and announce there will be no laws. And for 24 hours, there will be nothing. Nobody will be in trouble for anything. Do what you want for 24 hours. We're standing down. It would be absolute mayhem. Complete chaos. Because the cops would be forsaking society. Christ has not forsaken us. If his hand was off of us, oh, where would we be? Where would we really be? We think we're low now. Where would we be if it weren't for God holding us up?
That's right.
It's kind of like the Dead Sea. I don't know if you saw on Facebook the video of the people in the Dead Sea floating. It's so cool. You know, you can't sink the Dead Sea. You know that? You can't sink. Mom even knew what sinking the Dead Sea. There's so much salt. And I'm saying mom can't swim, not because she's like big. Because you can't swim. The Dead Sea has 10 times the salt content the ocean has. And they say it's absolutely, it's pretty much impossible to sink down the Dead Sea. The salt keeps you so buoyant. So my imagery is this on the paint. Though we may feel like we're in deep waters and there's no land around and we're in the middle of that water, God is keeping. We're not drowning, church. We've not gone so far down that it's over. God is holding us up. In our despair, in our pain, in our uncertainties, God is holding us up. We don't have the answers. God already has the answer. We don't have the future. God already knows the future. We don't know what to do. God's already working on it. He's working behind the scenes on our behalf. Do not let the enemy get you. so discouraged with everything that comes our way. We're going to have battles as human beings. We're going to have storms. We're going to have things we don't like going through. We're going to have giants to face. But I know God has not forsaken me. Though I'm persecuted, though we may be surrounded by our enemies, though the walls may be closing in, though strongholds may be laughing at us, though giants may be standing in front of us, though the battle may be raging, God is saying, I'm in your battle. I'm standing in front of you. I'm around you. I'm in you. I'm on you, and I'm with you, and I will never forsake you. I am thankful. People forsake us. Friends forsake us. Family forsakes us, but God doesn't ever forsake us.
Right.
Then it says, I've been struck down, but I've not been destroyed. Now, I've got to use one of my favorite analogies on this part. My movie Rocky. How many times was the Italian Stallion knocked on the mat, but he kept getting up? The guys were always bigger. They seemed to always be stronger. But Rocky took this verse right here and refused to go down. You may strike me down, but I'm popping back up. Hit me again, I'm popping back up. Hit me again, I'm popping back up. Hit me again, I'm popping back up. You know how we do that? Because the power of God is what rests in us, not our own abilities. We go back to the verse 7 we read about the excellency of the power does not rest in us. It rests in God. So God raises us up. Church, don't think we're going to get, we're never going to fail again. Man, we fail all the time. We fail over and over. That's why we have the grace of God, for none of us could enter the kingdom of heaven without the grace of God. None of us could. Not one. There's not one righteous, the Bible says. Not one righteous. Not one holy. Not one, well, one holy, but not no human holy. Not one that can keep the law. Not one that can see the face of God. Not one. But grace came.
Yes.
And grace said this. Grace says, when you fall, I'll pull you up. When you're down, I'll pull you up. When you're surrounded, I'll pull you up. I am with you. I'm always with you. I will hold you when the devil tries to destroy you. I am the grace that keeps you through every battle and every storm.
Yes, thank you.
We fight ourselves, and that's why we lose. We try to fight the battle. We try to figure it out. We try to intervene to a point of exhaustion, and we see no results. And in my personal life, I've fought battles, tried to personally, with no results found. And yesterday, I was listening to radio, and I was listening to either K11 or 106.9, and I heard a guy say something. It was a minister, it was a commercial between songs, and the minister was saying something, and it hit me inside about letting God really have it. We say we let God have it, but we don't. Once again, I'm preaching to me. I worry. I'm one of the ones that really worry about my kids. All of them. When Christian first started driving, I drove Melanie crazy. Is she on the way home? Have you heard from her? She texted you? She called? Of course she had. You know, is she left yet? Is she been home? I'm out. Well, Jamie, maybe she had a red light. I mean, she's 3 minutes late. Okay. Well, where's she at? Where's she at? Where's she at? Jamie, same way. You know, Ashley not got there. And if it's up to me, she won't ever get there. But I'm like, I worry. And Melanie's the one, honestly, that she grounds me. You know, I'm the red wire in the battery, and she's the black wire. I'm the hot, positive one. Not that she's not hot. I'm the hot, positive one, and she's the grounding wire. She grounds me. And she'll say, James, let God have it. I'm like, how can you be so... Let God have it, dude. No worries, man. I mean, really? How can you be that way? You know why? She trusts God. Which tells me maybe I don't.
He's brought me through.
He has. See, me and Melanie's lives are very different. Melanie has seen God move in ways that I haven't because of the way we were raised. I was raised in a very functional one-parent or two-parent, one-marriage home. I was raised with a picket fence kind of life. I truly was raised in the Leave It to Beaver kind of family. And Melanie was raised in the Leave It to Melanie kind of family. You know, she had to fend for herself. I've had, it's just so different. And so when we got married, maybe I just hadn't been through all these struggles she'd been through, so it toughened her up. And so she grounds me. And I appreciate that. She does ground me because I get worked up. I'm wired that way. Kind of like Dennis. I'm wired that way. And I get worked up, and I was like, Jay, look, God's got this. He's got it. Look, we're not destroyed. We're okay. Yes, there's pressure. Yes, we're surrounded, but we're not destroyed. So trust me. Is that all my scriptures?
That's all the scriptures, but you have one.
Oh, yes. Thank you. Don't continue to let what was be what is.
That's right.
That's important, church.
Yes.
Don't continue to let what's always been always be. You know, just because you had a path to this doesn't mean you'll always be that way. Because you were this doesn't mean you'll always be that.
Right.
Shake it off. Shake it off and rise to the occasion. I don't know the story of Samson. When I think about shaking off. Because he had that special anointing. Then when the enemies would surround him, he would shake himself, right? And all of a sudden the anointing would come upon him. And he would do great, marvelous things because the Holy Spirit was upon him in a mighty way. It's time that we shake it off and we move forward. Don't let our past cripple us. Don't let what used to be think that's what it's always got to be. Church, we can change it. I saw on Facebook, God wants us to do this, 92-year-old man got baptized.
Awesome.
92. He said, never too late. Little old man, 92. The preacher had him in a little tub. He come out of the water, he raised his little hand about halfway up. Praise the Lord. 92 years old. It's not too late. Do you know Colonel Sanders is on a millionaire after he retired? You ever read Colonel Sanders' story? He bounced around from job to job growing up as a young person, just kind of went from thing to thing and didn't really make nothing out of himself. And about 65 years old, he had a vision. The best chicken in America, or used to be, probably not now, but anyway. KFC, secret formula, best chicken. He became a millionaire in his 60s. He lived all of his life not making much out of himself until then. Church, it's not too late.
That's right.
Whatever season you're in. My grandma's probably the most senior here today. It ain't too late for her to do something different or new. Who knows what God has in store for her? God can move on who he wants to move on. Moses was 80 years old when he called him to lead his people out. 80 years old. Moses was bouncing around the desert, hiding, a fugitive from the law. Murdered his brother, went hiding back in the backside of a desert. He's walking alone, minding his own business, and God calls him. He was an old man. I mean, fairly old. But it was his time.
That's right.
Doesn't matter that Moses was a fugitive in the desert. He would become the deliverer of God's people.
That's right.
I want to tell a story about Gail, this Gail. We call him Uncle Gail. It's another difference. He's Uncle Gail. This is just Gail. Oh, and then we have another Gail. We have three Gails. Okay. Uncle Gail. Him and Grandma are about the same age, actually. They're close. They're about the same age. Whenever we were moving, I got a big old U-Haul. Big old U-Haul. It had a kind of a low back with a, you know, hitch on the back. I tried to get enough to get in one load. So I got a big U-Haul and had the bright idea of trying to get up my driveway. You ever been in my house on a hill? Going up wasn't no problem. Went right up. That wasn't an issue. But we try to get turned around, so we back down. The hitch, the ball, stuck in the pavement so low. Wedged in the asphalt. I've got a 16-foot U-Haul stuck in the middle of my road. Pretty embarrassing. And I'm like, oh my gosh. Or you young people say, OMG, I'm texting you, OMG, oh God. What am I going to do? So dad's with me. Dad only got stuck, by the way, not me. But anyway, last time I handled this thing, I dropped an auto wash it. Stuck. Okay. So anyway. We're stuck in the middle of the road, and I'm like, oh my gosh. I mean, it dug under the road. There's asphalt on top of the ball. I mean, it dug in the road. So Dad's spinning it back wheels, just smoking. How embarrassing. I'm like, oh my God. What? I'm stressed out. I got a pack. I'm like, what are we going to do? Well, the Holy Spirit revealed who to help me. Uncle Gil. Now, y'all laughing. old jack up. He brought that jack to our house. He got out of that truck. He's jacking the bumper up. He says, okay. They're talking about dad. Let it roll. Let it roll. He's back. Okay, jack up some more. Let it roll. Gail got that thing stuck in the other road. He got it stuck. What, some young whippersnapper? It wasn't some scientist or some U-Haul specialist. It was Uncle Gale, a Yankee from Michigan, older than Moses, who helped me out of the road. God can use anybody.
Yes, it can.
If we're willing.
That's right.
I just think it's awesome. You said a 10-year-old playing Beethoven. A 10-year-old playing Beethoven and a Moses getting a U-Haul out of the road. Two extremes. How God covers the spectrum of his people.
He installed our kitchen
faucet, too. Yes, he did. Yeah, we abused Natalie around here. Yes. Church, take it off. When you leave here today, whatever's stuck to you, remember, is it Charlie Brown cartoon? That little dark cloud or whatever's in it? Thunder and lightning?
Yeah.
What's his name? Lion, is it Lionel?
Linus.
Charlie Brown cartoon. Is it dirt or cloud? It's dirt. Okay. Well, that's kind of how we are, right? Everywhere we go, that sticks to everywhere. That dirt, that past, that guilt, that shame, that condemnation, that failure is always swirling around, reminding us, take it out from under. There you go. Here it's there. Take it out from under. There it is. Following us. It's like Linus. It's time. What Linus should have done? Oh, yeah, Pigpen. What Pigpen should have done was get rid of that thing and shake it off. We don't have to let stick to us what comes to us.
Right.
We can repel it. It's time to shout, raid, and get rid of it and shake it off.
That's right. Thank you, Jesus.
Martyr, come on up here. Play a little something as we close out our service today. Church, I'm ready to move forward. I'm tired of being paralyzed by the same old junk. Gosh, man, church, sometimes we carry stuff 5, 10, 15, 20 years, just carry it over and over every day, and nothing improves because we just let it stay there. God is saying, just let me have it. Just get rid of it and shake it off. Y'all stand in the field, if you would. Thank you.
find my way. Lord, bring me back.